Chapter 13 Parallax Views. Our PRU and Kuangchi were all victims of communist terror, said Bob Brewer, who, like many CIA officers in Vietnam, believed he was singled out for assassination. A dedicated anti-communist who felt personally threatened, Brewer was motivated, and so were his PRU. They were so red-hot you had to control them, he added with delight. The man with the job of controlling the PRU in Guangxi province was Warren Milberg. Elegant and sophisticated, Milberg today is the consummate corporate American male. His employer, the Titan Corporation, designs Star Wars lasers, and more than 20 years after the fact, despite a lingering resentment against cynical war managers who send idealistic young soldiers on suicidal rites of passage, Warren Milberg still embraces the Cold War ideology and its corresponding Phoenix mythology. At the core of Milberg's melancholy are two related experiences. Both happened in 1965 during his first tour in Vietnam, when he was deputy chief of security at the Da Nang Air Base. There, Milberg's involvement with agent nets brought him into contact with local CIA operators, who liked his style and invited him to participate in the ongoing SOG operation called Prairie Fire. Milberg joined SOG without the knowledge of his Air Force superiors. He put on black pajamas and worked with a team of Nung mercenaries, leading them on long-range patrols into Laos to monitor and interdict NVA units. Sometimes they sat on the Ho Chi Minh Trail and shot field-grade NVA officers from 1,000 yards away, so they never even heard the report. This is where things started to get exciting, recalled Milberg, who, along with his other duties, began organizing counter-terror teams. I was doing training of Vietnamese and Americans, Marines and some Army people. As for his indigenous personnel, the Vietnamese were gangsters and thugs, mercenaries who we trained and who were in our pay. But my perception of the role of the CT teams was to strike terror into the enemy, the NVA and VC, not the population. It was during this period of time, Milberg continued, when I started to think more about the war and my role in it. And I also began to see evidence of how the Viet Cong were operating in the hamlets. I saw the messages for the tax collectors and the political officers, and what will always stand out in my mind was the terror and torture they used to strike fear and get compliance from the villagers. An event where a particular village chief's wife, who was pregnant, was disemboweled and their unborn baby's head was smashed with a rifle butt. We stumbled on this incident quite by accident within hours of it happening. I've never seen anything like it in my life. Milberg would not talk about the other traumatic incident, other than to say he was asked by the CIA to parachute into North Vietnam. That he did, even though he had never jumped from an airplane before. And something terrible happened, something too painful to describe, something that made him question the motives of war managers who would ask him to do such a reckless thing. He wondered if the mission had any purpose other than testing the men involved, to see how far they could be pushed, and to prepare them for equally preposterous missions in the future. He wondered if he was a guinea pig. This event resulted in my being afraid, which was a new experience for me. I spent a lot of time between tours thinking about it and wondering how I would react the next time. So it was almost like I needed to test it again. In this way, Warren Milberg's self-doubt compelled him to return to Vietnam in August 1967, at the request of the CIA as part of the presidentially directed counterinsurgency program that fleshed out ISICS. On the other hand, remorse drove Elton Manzioni out of Vietnam, out of the military, and nearly out of his mind. Consider the cases of Manzioni and Milberg, two men equally exposed to a blend of secrecy and terror. Enlisted man Manzioni turned on his masters, renounced American imperialism, and spoke out against the misdeeds of the CIA. Officer Milberg submitted to authority and in return became one of the protected few, accepted into the cult of the Phoenix, rewarded with the American dream. Manzioni and Milberg are remarkably alike. They have the same kind of build, are the same age, and come from the greater New York metropolitan area. Both have dark complexions and complexes, dark curly hair, and experience in special operations. Both are thoughtful, aggressive, high-strung. Where they part company is where America, too, is divided over the question of values. As a SEAL in Guangxi province in 1964, Elton Manzioni dressed like the enemy, worked with CTs who committed atrocities as standard procedure, and was told to ignore the rules of engagement. But there was no sense of our role in the war, he said to me forlornly. He will not talk about his comrades who died while on illegal missions into North Vietnam and Laos. But, he noted, what annoys me is that they're not on the Washington Monument simply because they ended up getting greased somewhere where they weren't supposed to be. Manzioni's anger went beyond any lack of recognition. He resented the fact that he was trained to kill. In psychology, it's called cognitive dissonance, the notion that once you make a commitment, it's impossible to go back. It's something about the human psyche that makes a person reluctant to admit a mistake. This is what training is all about. You've already killed the gook. So what if it isn't a dummy in the bed this time? So what if it's a living, breathing human being? This is what you're supposed to do, and once the first time comes and goes, it's not as hard the second time. You say to yourself, well, hey, I've killed people before. Why should I have any compunctions about doing it now? Training is brainwashing. They destroy your identity and supply you with a new one, a uniform identity that every soldier has. That's the reason for the uniform, for everyone having the same haircut and going to dinner together and eating the same thing. They destroyed the street kid from Newark and created the sailor. They destroyed the sailor and created the SEAL. But people aren't robots, and despite their training, eventually they react. They turn on their trainers and confront the outside forces that have used them. That's what happened to me. I was a guinea pig, Manzioni insisted. There is no doubt in my mind today. And there was very little doubt then, even after 5 months in Vietnam. All the training and all the special programs, it eventually began to backfire on them. I thought, oh yeah, great program you got here. You're using me to see how I react. I'm expendable. I'm a pawn. And that's kind of a heavy realization when you're an 18-year-old kid. It's a paradox, you know, Manzioni continued. They would send a guy over there to be a replacement for a specific person who was being pulled out. So what consciously came across to you was, I'm functioning as a part of a machine, and if I fail as a part or break down as a part, then another part will come along to replace me. Then you find yourself thinking, the last time I looked at somebody as not a part of the machine, and I thought he was a really great guy, and he's a friend of mine, he stepped on a landmine and came down dust, hair, teeth, and eyeballs. Then you realize, I can't afford to do that, because I feel terrible for a month afterwards. And you can't function when you feel terrible. The only thing we could deal with at any particular time was survival. What do I want to do today? I want to eat, sleep, and stay alive. And you did. And you related to those kinds of things. Suddenly you looked around and said, wait a minute. That's what those little guys in black pajamas are doing too. You get to the point where you begin to see these people just want to be left alone to grow their rice. I'll give you one last example of what I'm talking about. I'm sure you've heard about the laser-guided smart bombs we had. Well, they would drop these laser-guided smart bombs, and what the VC would do was take a bunch of old rags and tires and stuff and start a bonfire with lots of smoke. And the laser beam would hit the smoke particles, and it would scatter, and the bombs would go crazy. They'd go up, down, sideways, all over the place. And people would smile and say, there goes another smart bomb. So smart, a gook with a match and an old tire can fuck it up. The whole perverse idea of putting this technological, semi-antiseptic sort of warfare against these people, who didn't have much more than a stick, was absurd. The sticks won. Warren Milberg had a different point of view. He enjoyed being a member of the closed society, in which relating to the enemy in human terms was cause for expulsion. For him, the image of the disemboweled mother and her murdered fetus formed opinions and justifications for what I was doing. It was the idea that you needed to hate the enemy. It was the beginning of my own personalization of my role in the conflict. It was what resulted in me going back to Vietnam when everybody, my parents, my friends, my wife, told me no one in his right mind would go back to Vietnam. I really believed that I was helping these people defend themselves from the bully. And sometimes that worked well. And sometimes it was horrible. It was horrible if you made some small little village on the periphery of the universe believe they could in fact stand tall and defend themselves against this thing we understood as the enemy, then came back the next day and found them all slaughtered. It happened. And then you had to ask yourself, what did I do here? I made these people believe they could do something, and now they're all dead. Maybe it would have been better if I'd just done nothing, just left these people alone. I'm still reconciling it. I still don't think I've worked it all the way through. Warren Milberg stared into the distance, seeing sights that only combat veterans see. Things that have happened since then have led me to believe that I don't want to be an instrument of policy anymore, he concluded. I think the people who devise the policies and cause idealistic young men to go off to war probably need to experience some of the things I've experienced to temper their judgments.